Crude oil is crude. Natural gas is pure. That's why Pennzoil's base oil is made from natural gas, not crude. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
It's V-Week on ESPN as we continue Jim Valvano's fight against cancer.
Today's opening tip, Marcus Morris started a little beef here with Nikola Jokic last night. We've seen him go at it with a number of players.
That's what I like. I like it. He got to do it. He got to mix it up some kind of way.
Kind of on brand.
Yeah. They're not winning, so shoot. I mean, you got to ruffle the feathers some type of way.
Started to quote team culture when this happened in preseason. It wasn't the whole thing like, right?
He's just trying to give his team a spark. You know, the Nuggets came in and whooped their butts pretty good. So, yeah.
I'm shocked to hear that. I do know that the Morris brothers come to play, though. Every night they will be there for
absolutely.
You. And a guy
they
like
will.
You, Perk, can respect that. I know that is true. I was really curious. I'm Rachel Nichols. Welcome to The Jump. I'm joined by our senior insider, Ramona Shelburne. But I was really curious, whether we would see Kendrick today.
I know.
Because the Cowboys last night, Kendrick, it didn't go well for your
team. I'm done with the Cowboys.
Oh, come on.
No, until we hire
a lifetime of Texas football and you're done with the Cowboys.
Until we hire a new coach, I'm done with the Cowboys.
Do you think the current coach is going to last through the end of the season?
Well, that's what they said, but until we hire a new coach, I'm officially done with the Cowboys.
Jerry Jones, you've lost Kendrick Perkins for like a week or two. So we'll see what happens.
Dang, that's real.
Frustrated Cowboys fans, and hey, frustrated Knicks fans too. As Kendrick said, the Knicks didn't win last night. 8 in a row that they've lost now. Every game is a new rock bottom for the team's most valuable franchise. We will discuss. First, though. So the first time LeBron James and Carmelo Anthony played each other, it was an event. 2003, they were two of the most highly touted rookies in ages. And everybody showed up to see them square off. Jay-Z, Ken Griffey Jr. Fast forward 17 years to tonight when the Lakers visit the Blazers and the two face off against each other once again, with so much having happened along the way. High school kids, when they first met, they now each have kids of their own. They've changed cities, teams, jobs, and all the way through, the constant has been each other. When in 2004, Melo stepped onto the court for his first ever playoff game, guess who was in the stands wearing his jersey? LeBron. When in 2010, LeBron needed someone to talk to as he watched his jersey burn in his hometown, guess who was at the other end of the phone? Carmelo. And when last year, Melo fell into basketball purgatory, ousted first from Oklahoma City and then Houston, it was LeBron who vouched for him the loudest, even suggesting his own Lakers team as a destination. I asked Melo about that when we sat down earlier this week. Last season, after the Rockets thing fell apart, LeBron was pretty public, saying he'd like to play with you, but it was up to Lakers management. Did those talks go anywhere?
I mean, I'm not a guy that, I need this, or can you do this? I would never do that, right? Because I know it's bigger than that.
You mean you would never call LeBron and say, hey, can you get me on the
team? I never called him and said, what we doing, or I need you to do this for me. I would never do that, right? I know for a fact he would go to bat for me, but I don't feel comfortable putting people in that situation, whether you're my friend or not.
And now you actually are going to play against each other, national TV game. You know it's going to be kind of a wild
environment. It's always. Those are fun games, though. Right? I mean, we're 17 years in. I mean, I remember sitting in, in New Jersey in high school about to play him for the first time. Like, we're here 17 years later, still doing what we do, and what we love.
That is really amazing. Melo and LeBron actually met for the very first time at a Team USA basketball camp in Colorado Springs. They barely spoke there, although LeBron has said he came home from that week and told his friends he'd just seen the most talented player he'd ever been in front of. Then, 8 months later, was that game in New Jersey, the first time they actually played each other, two high school powerhouses squaring off. And that is where their friendship really began. Both teams were staying in the same hotel right across the Pennsylvania border. LeBron and Melo ran into each other and ended up sitting on a staircase for hours, talking about what it was like to be surrounded by people, but also alone, talking about love and fear and life and all the weight that came with their outrageous talent. It's a conversation that has now lasted for 17 years, and it will continue tonight, both during the game and then also after, when they will break out a bottle of wine and talk about pretty much everything except for basketball. And that will be an event in itself. Two grown men who can now say that they've known each other for longer than they didn't. Opponents sometimes, brothers always. Perk, finish this sentence for me. If Melo and LeBron had ever actually teamed up, then blank. Because we have heard over and over from these guys that when LeBron James and Dwayne Wade did their contracts with the teams before they played for the Heat together, they made those three-year deals instead of the usual five-year maxes. And the idea was to become free agents together so they could team up. And they said to Melo, take the three-year deal. And instead, he took the five-year deal with the Nuggets.
If LeBron and Melo would have teamed up in their prime, it was must-see TV. Probably would have had the highest ratings ever in history because I would have wanted to see that. I mean, you talking about LeBron James, who's arguably the best player to ever play the game of basketball, and you're talking about one of the best scorers in the, that the game have ever seen in the Carmelo Anthony teaming up in their prime, it would have been must-see TV. I would have watched every single game, period, point blank. You almost had me crying just now, Rachel, in the introduction.
It's pretty amazing.
It's really amazing. Like, that's true brotherhood right there.
And they're both of an age now where they have known each other longer than the time they didn't know each other, which is just blows my mind.
Yeah. I wonder how their games fit together, though. Like, you covered those Heat teams pretty closely. And the reason why those three players work so well together is, like, LeBron and Dwayne Wade do enough different things that they complement each other. But Chris Bosh
did
spaced
a
the
very
floor.
Different thing.
Yeah, a very different thing. LeBron and Melo, in some ways, their games might be too similar. Is that, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, well, look,
up close to it.
They're playing the same position. And obviously, Eric Spoelstra with this Heat team sort of brought in positionless basketball, so I'm sure he would have made it work. But Chris Bosh was the X factor for that team so many times. He wasn't the most talented player on the floor, but he tipped the scale. Once you put in your LeBron stuff and your Dwayne Wade stuff, Chris is the one who tipped it toward the win again and again. That shot, that Ray Allen shot that we will always remember that beat the Spurs in that Game 6 and helped win them their first title, who was the rebound from? Chris Bosh.
Absolutely.
Right? So I just think there's so many little ways where Chris Bosh influenced that team. I can't say for sure they would have won more titles if Melo had joined them instead of Chris. Or maybe they would have won less. They don't win that year, right? That would have been the second year that they didn't win after being in the finals. Maybe that team would have been broken up in some way. So it's the biggest what if. I think it would have been great for Melo, though.
It would have been great for Melo.
I think if Melo had gotten out of what was then New York and then come to Miami, that would have been good for him.
I can't say this. They did steal what Chris Bosh did for the Miami Heat was they were the second team to invent small ball because we were the first team with the Celtics when Doc Rivers used to move Kevin Garnett to the five, move me to the bench and put James Posey to the four. And that's what Spoelstra did. He moved Chris Bosh to the five a lot, stretched the floor, made the paint a little bit more open for LeBron and D-Wade to drive because Bosh could shoot the three so deadly. So
well, Mike D'Antoni might have a little bit.
I was going to say, there's some other people
Those
that they have a claim to.
But we're talking about people who won championships.
And see, that is why Kendrick Perkins can end every sentence.
That's right.
He says, oh, I'm sorry, did you see my ring? Thank you very much. Let's talk about Melo a little more, though, because our agent, Virginowski, reports that the Blazers will amend Melo's contract to make it fully guaranteed for this season. Perk, this is interesting because they didn't have to do this till January. So what does it tell you that they did?
Well, for one, first of all, it's well deserved, okay? And it tells me that they need Melo. And it also, it's almost like a movie audition. You know, it was a non-guaranteed coming in, and it's like, okay, we're going to give you the script and let's see what you do with it. And guess what? He got the role to the movie.
He did.
So it's well deserved. I'm all with it, and I applaud Melo, I applaud the Blazers for making this move, and it's well-deserved.
So there's two high-profile veterans about the same age who signed non-guaranteed contracts this year. Dwight Howard, Carmelo Anthony. Dwight Howard has exceeded expectations of the Lakers, too. But they haven't made his contract guaranteed.
That is so interesting.
And no one has pushed for that either.
Right.
And I think the difference here is that the Lakers, and probably Dwight himself, want that to stay non-guaranteed because it holds his feet to the fire.
Right.
Whereas with Melo, it's a sign of respect to say, we believe in you. You need this validation right now. We're going to guarantee
it. And then on top of that, you're absolutely right. I think the reason that the Lakers haven't made the Dwight thing guaranteed, they want to keep his feet to the fire. They want to keep this Dwight, keep him pushing. I'm pretty sure they're going to guarantee it. But on the Blazers side of it, it's more so like, no, we need you.
Well, and
is not another better person out there.
And I think with Dwight, like, it also goes back to why the Lakers signed that contract with him that way in the first place. Mm-hmm. Dwight asked for that. That was his idea. Huh. That wasn't the Lakers saying, oh, this is the only way we'll
That's
do it.
Interesting.
This was Dwight and his agent saying, yes, we'll do non-guaranteed just to show you how committed we are to being this kind of player.
That is really, that's really interesting. I think with Melo, he would have felt the security, as you said, more of a sign of respect. And look, they kind of know already what they're getting with Melo. And the Rockets felt they knew too. What, it was 10 games that he played with them, and they decided, okay, we're going to back this off. And there were a lot of other issues going on in Houston that we can get into.
That's typical Daryl Morey.
Well, I was going to say, though, is that it's like a coach playing without that, you know, playing out his last year, right? We know what happens when that happens, right? Yep. Guys get a little antsy. People feel like, well, if you don't really believe in me, how much effort should I really put in? And you want to nip that in the bud, and Melo feel like, hey, we're all in on you. You can be all in on us. I think it's pretty
still
cool.
Still in all, great stories for both guys.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. All right. Coming up, a report in The Athletic has anonymous Cavs players going on the record saying that they are tuning out John Beilein. We will discuss the dynamic in Cleveland right now. That's coming up next on The Jump. First, though, it's time for our distant replay from this date in 2010. You guys might know what it is. Have you seen this play with Dwayne Wade and LeBron James? The one.
With LeBron.
Bomb, look at the pose, though. Right? That is amazing. Some guy got a, like, intricate tattoo on his leg that was perfect of this. It has become the most iconic photo of their time together. Don't lose the dunk, though. That dunk was serious. By the way, Chris Bosh chimed in on Twitter today about this. What a moment. So glad I could be part of it. You know he was the video bomber right there. That is pretty impressive. See, you need Chris Bosh in the big three. That is why Chris Bosh needed to be a member of that Miami Heat team.
It's a make or miss league.
Make, miss. Oh. It's a make or miss league.
Making waves. Kelly Oubre, you know who he is. Tsunami Poppy showed off his bounce last night.
He's so underrated.
First he dunked on Brandon Ingram, then later in OT that chased down on Lonzo.
That was when he really got up.
So are we sleeping on Tsunami Poppy's athleticism, that bounce?
Ooh, no. We're not sleeping.
Know it.
I'm not sleeping on him. I don't even know how the Wizards let him go.
I mean, Lonzo went up with two hands on that dunk.
About
two hands on the dunk.
Decision making on that year where they let him go and other people go. I do like watching this, and you know the music. I'm all for it.
It's all good.
Keep going, Kelly. We'll put you on every time. Miss Layups. Check out this massive thrunk by Jackson Hayes. So we've got the thrunk scale going here. A little throwdown dunk.
Oh, my God.
Right?
Yeah. It's almost like he stepped on Diallo.
This kid plays so much energy. This
1 to 10.
Long arms.
Right?
Oh, KG.
Wow.
So that's the master, obviously.
Do you want to define that word? Thrunk?
Throwing down the dunk.
There it is. Okay. Yeah.
That's the ultimate.
That's more than just throwing down.
There's going to be a day we stop showing that highlight, but it's not today, and it's probably not going to be this year, people. So
I'm glad you didn't show my big
I'm not that mad at it either. This one is insane. Cleared for landing. All right. Make drama. Rockets Raptors. Kyle Lowry, so nice to see him back. Defending PJ Tucker, though, in the corner. Watch this vicious slap from PJ.
it's like three different blocks on the same play.
Oh, man.
That's some good action.
Are we worried about Kyle? I mean, look, it's been a difficult season.
No,
look at what happened
compared to
that.
Right?
And the refs are falling for it, too. What?
My chin.
Break out the stretch.
My chin. I know.
You gotta sell that.
But Kyle, I mean, put him back on the injury list. He could go on injury reserve because of this.
But look how he points going the other way, though, after. What?
I'm very concerned.
Oh,
missed possessions. Sixers Wizards for the first 6 minutes of the game. Ben Simmons was a menace on the defensive side. Here he is picking on Bradley Beal. And our producers wanted to know if Ben was maybe a bully in high school. What do we think?
No, I don't think he was a bully.
He's Australian.
He can play bully ball.
Yeah, he does.
Australians are tough.
Yeah, Australians are tough.
Come Come on. I do think that Ben is underrated on the defensive side. Okay, we talk and dissect agree. The offensive game and obviously the things he does great on offense, the things he's still lacking on offense.
On defense, I think there's
he's leading the NBA in steals right now. It's going to have a game.
Yeah, several playoff games last year where I felt like his defensive effort was a big part of the difference.
And he plays with a ton of energy, too.
Plus, like last week, Kobe called him out in detail. I don't know if any of that got back to him.
Oh. Make blunders. Well, they didn't win the game either, so there was that. Staying in Washington, Yamahimi takes a pass to the dome in his first game back. Then back over in Toronto.
Russ
gets hung trying to put back to the mess.
Ooh, that was awesome.
I don't know, which do you think is making Shaqton this week? Which is funnier?
That one.
Yeah. Because Russ tried off the vert, but Bertans, were you outletting it to Mahimi? Or he trying to, he just
I
got
I think there's somebody behind him. I think there's somebody behind Mahimi and Mahimi's
I don't know,
in the
Russ,
way.
The Russ still Let's was impressive because he tried.
He's trying to get out. Trying to get it
there.
And then Mahimi would just press back off the edge.
That's just, and then you fall on your butt, so.
Well, Russ tried to get that.
If, I was going
to
say,
been awesome.
These things happen when you are trying, so we always say, good. For that.
Mahimi's is in the way.
Let's talk about the Cleveland Cavaliers. They have lost 10 of their last 11 games, and there is a report today suggesting the discord has taken a foothold in the locker room. A story by The Athletic quoting anonymous Cavs players on the record as being frustrated with first-year head coach John Beilein. According to The Athletic, players have grown wary of Beilein's college coaching style. Now, Beilein is 66. He coached in college for 27 years, the last 12 for Michigan. His lead assistant is J.B. Bickerstaff, who has been a head coach himself in the NBA in Houston and Memphis. Perk, I was wondering if you think that college-style coaching can work in the NBA. I think we're going to get some of the quotes up here through the segment. Basically, the guys are saying that, hey, that college-style system isn't working for us, and that the player quotes are saying that they are now looking past Beilein to J.B. Bickerstaff for kind of instruction.
Well, I mean, from my sources, they brought in the coach to build culture. Mm-hmm. They have young guys. They have a 19-year-old. They have an 18-year-old in Colin Sexton and Garland. And he's built culture. Now, one thing I can say about Beilein is that everywhere he went, he's changed the program. Mm-hmm. One thing that he has to adjust is college is different than the pros. It really is like a player's league. So, as a coach, you have to kind of put your pride aside just a little bit. And adjust to the players, because now you have players that are making $20 to $30 million a year. And anyways, I mean, I don't even know why this is so much of a story because nobody expected the Cavs to do anything this year anyway, right?
I don't think that's on the marketing slogan. No one expected us to do much anyway.
I'm saying if we all picked the Cavs to finish 29th in the league, we knew that they was going through a growing process. So this don't. But I have a problem with the unknown sources, anonymous sources. Like Doc Rivers always taught us, if you say something, put your name behind it and stand behind it. That's the only problem I have with this. And for it to get out, players. No, put your name behind it. Say, be a man about it. Such and such said it, and that way you could clean it up, or the Cavs could do what they need to do and trade whoever it is that have a problem with the coach.
Look, change is uncomfortable, right? We get new editors all the time, and everybody has their own way of doing things, and some people are a little more oversight, and some people are a little less oversight. Some people want to know what you're doing every second of the day. Some people just let you do your thing, and you call them when you need to call them. So I think that's what's happening here. You have a coach who's a college-style coach who has, all of a sudden you go from having film sessions that are like the normal NBA length to it's a two-hour film session. Oh, we are here a lot longer. These practices are running a lot differently. And when you have grown men, especially veterans who've been in the league a little while, that doesn't always sit well. Right. And so if you're winning, fine. But they're not. They started off 4-5 and now they're 5-15.
Right. But let's not act like they was winning last year either.
So all the stuff that grates on you, it's okay when you're winning.
Right.
But when you start really losing and the wheels are falling off, all that stuff where he's trying to push you and you have longer film sessions. It reminds me a little bit when Mike Brown came and took over the Lakers for Phil Jackson. Mm-hmm. Okay. That was the lockout year. So he had to get all of his system in fast.
Right.
They missed all the training camp. You had to get right into the season. And a couple of times they would have really long practices. There was one player told me, this is funny, right? They played the Denver Nuggets one night, and then the next night is a back-to-back, so it's a home and away back-to-back. and they had a shoot around the day in Denver. And
that's the player, not what you right, do in so the NBA.
Right? And the player was like, we're literally playing the same team that right. we just played. And we had like a 2-hour shoot around. And it wasn't that. It was a timing thing. It was a you're a new guy thing. You're not Phil. You're a different voice. And I think that's what's going on here is there's an adjustment period. The only question that really matters, though, there are two questions. One, has he actually lost the team?
Right.
And two, what does management think? What does ownership think? Is he in any danger? If they have his back, mm-hmm. then the players need to get on board.
Well, they do have his back. And I think, you know, this is his first coaching job for the NBA. Mm-hmm. So he's learning also. So this is a learning mm-hmm. experience for him also. So he could take this and also learn from me and say, you know what, I need to learn. I was coaching in college, and let me see ways that I could get better as an NBA coach. Mm-hmm. So the ownership in the front office supporting them 100%. So the players are the ones that had a problem. They got to deal with it.
And the question with rebuilds is always, are you rebuilding in the right way? Everyone knows it's a rebuild, right?
That's right.
It's just, are you building with good materials? Are you using bricks? Are you using straw? Are you using lawn chairs? So, you know, that's what I think people and players are trying to figure out here. Coming up, it's time to discuss the Knicks. We can't put it off any longer. Yeah, I just want to point out, producer Steve has been, he's doing it to himself, really, when he makes up these rundowns. They lost at home by 37 last night. We're going to ask the question, is every game a new rock bottom for the Knicks? Next. Now through December 12th, you can bid on shoes that are signed from Joel Embiid, Paul George, Damian Lillard, so many more athletes, coaches, and celebrities. They did this Kicks to Beat Cancer program last year. It was amazing, the stuff that was up there and what people ended up getting and taking home. So you can be the person this year. Bid now at ebay.com/VWeek. All proceeds benefit the V Foundation for Cancer Research. Our producer, Nate Bronson, is involved in organizing this. It is a tremendous project. I really urge you, go to the website, take a look. Do a little shopping. It's for a good cause. Welcome back to The Jump. I'm still here with Ramona Shelburne, Kendrick Perkins. Another game, another blowout, another low for the New York Knicks. Last night, the Nuggets went into MSG and beat them down by 37 points. Mm-hmm. It is the eighth loss in a row for New York, dropping their record to 4-18. Perk, is every game a new rock bottom for the Knicks? Have we reached rock bottom yet?
Yes, we've been reached rock bottom for the Knicks. I'm sorry, but it was a few games. I watched them last week. They was playing against Philly, and they were playing so good, and they were up by like 15, and then all of a sudden Philly just came and just walked them down and eventually won the game. And it's just bad, and I feel real bad for Coach Fizdale because he's been set up for failure since the time that he got there. This roster is not well put together, you know, and when situations like this happen, somebody has to be the scapegoat. My thing is how long or when is accountability is going to come towards Steve Mills and Scott Perry? It's not fair to Coach Fizdale. And by the way, good luck if Coach Fizdale, you know, if his time is running short and he's about to get fired, good luck to the New York Knicks of finding the next head coach because nobody's going to really want to take this job.
Well, speaking of Coach Fizdale, he spoke. I want to give you a little bit of taste of what he had to say.
Sickening. And they'll have to rewatch it just like I'm going to watch it 3 or 4 times. They're going to have to suffer through it as well.
4-18, are you worried this is going to fall on you ultimately?
I don't care about all of that. I don't even think about that, really. I think about the next team we're playing. I think about the guys in the locker room and how I can help them. At the end of the day, that's all I care about.
If we were doing BS or real talk on this press conference, I would say real talk, that he is sickened. A little BS being called on the fact that he's not even thinking about whether they're going to fire him or not. But I understand what he's saying. Mm-hmm. He's like, look, it's out of my control. I got to actually just try to get ready. What do you make of all of this?
So I think my sense of where the Knicks are and when they make a change, if they make a change, et cetera, is it's about whether you're going in the right direction. And they've had issues at the point guard position for a while. Elfrid Payton just came back, but he missed 17 games. Dennis Smith Jr. obviously had a tragedy in his family. Mm-hmm. He came back, but it's taken him some time to get up to speed. So the sense was, okay, can you really evaluate the team while you don't have the two guys that you thought were going to be running the point guard position? And whether those guys are qualified to be the point guard of the Knicks is another question, okay?
Right.
But, like, that's who they had. So Payton came back. right? And it's going to take him some time, but maybe if they were going in the right direction, if you saw positive signs, if you didn't see 37-point losses at home, then you could say, oh, okay, right. It's just the point guard issue. But when you continue to see games that are not competitive, players giving what Fizdale calls sickening effort, mm-hmm. I think you have to start bracing for some kind of change.
Yeah. But to Kendrick's point, is that change just limited to the coaching? Does it hit the front office as well?
Yes, because, I mean, you think about it. You draft R.J. Barrett, right? Mm-hmm. And he's the centerpiece off the top. You have to go get guys that's going to surround him and put him in position to be successful. I'm talking about either great veterans, the right pieces. Right now, you have the Morris brother, you have Julius Randle, you have about three or four guys that all play the same type of way. Mm-hmm. It's bad for R.J. Barrett right now because he's learning nothing but horrible habits, and he's not getting the chance to be himself. So I think this front office, not just Coach Fizdale, they have to be accountable for this.
And why is it important to the NBA as a whole of how the Knicks are doing, and not just in 1 year, oh, gee, this season, but over a 20-year period or anything like that, 15-year period? Look, this franchise is worth $4 billion. Mm-hmm. $4 billion. It is the most valuable franchise in the NBA. It has one of the largest fan bases in the NBA, along with the Lakers and maybe one other team. Do you know how that $4 billion measures up just around U.S. pro sports? It is the third most valuable franchise in all of American pro sports. Whew. Cowboys and Yankees, the only ones who are more valuable. Wow. You want to know how it measures up around the world? I'm sorry, a little sore spot there. Globally, every sports team, soccer, anything you want to talk about in any country, countries that have more citizens than the United States, they are the fifth most valuable franchise in the entire world. Wow. This is an important team. It's important to the NBA. It's important to the fan base. And year after year, we are seeing things go not in the direction that its own fans, one of whom is in our control room, would like it to go in. All right, let's take a look at the Rockets because they had an impressive win in Toronto last night. Russell Westbrook, though, continuing to struggle with his shooting. Westbrook shot 7 of 27 last night. He is now 14 of 57 over his last two games. Ramona, what do you think the Rockets can do to get Perk's old teammate here going again?
Look, he's shooting 21.6% from three. 21%.
It's not good.
That's not good. And I think the only thing you could probably do is to just get him some confidence again, get the ball in his hands. And yet that means taking the ball out of James Harden's hands, mm-hmm. which is not something that is generally advised on offense because James Harden is so good on offense. But that's probably what they're going to have to do is stagger the minutes a little bit more, let Russ have the ball in his hands. Because now James has the ball in his hands, and because the teams don't respect Russ as a shooter, then James has two guys on him all the time. Right.
Here's my thought, and I said this before the season started. This is on Mike D'Antoni. You have to put these guys in position to be successful. And right now, I'm looking at my guy Russell Westbrook. I'm going to blame 20% on Russ, the way he's performing, and the 80% on Mike D'Antoni. Because for the simple fact, he's almost turning Russell Westbrook into a role player. Everybody is standing around watching James Harden do his thing, and Russ is just standing around. And all of a sudden, here you go. Take this shot. Here you go. 5 seconds on the shot clock. Take this shot. No. How about Mike D'Antoni? Yep. Call Billy Donovan and ask, what are some of the plays? What are some of the sets you ran last year that put Russ in position to be successful? How about posting them up? How about running all the way up to the half court to set a high ball screen and have him attacking downhill? Those are the things that Russell Westbrook is good at. And the system that the Rockets have that do not fit Russell Westbrook, and it's on Mike D'Antoni to put the Brody in position to be successful.
To your point about staggering, it might be taking James Harden off the court more when he's on the court. And look, realizing you may lose some games in the short term while you work this out, but that you will be a stronger team in the long term if Russell Westbrook is a contributing member in a different way than he has been so far. Coming up, the Lakers, 19-3, first place in the West. So which Laker has a better chance to win MVP, AD or LeBron? This is interesting. We'll discuss it next. First, though, here's what The Jump recommends for today. Mark Spears of The Undefeated's cover story Damian Lillard. This is excellent. We talked about it a little bit yesterday. The story explores Lillard's identities as both an elite point guard and a legit rising rap superstar. Here's Lillard talking about the picnic he holds in his hometown every summer. Take a listen.
When I was 8, 9, 10 years old, they used to do a picnic and it was called the Never Worry Picnic. And the whole neighborhood would be there and the rest of the city of Oakland. It was like a big event every summer, but it always ended in like a fight or a shootout or something like that. And then it would be like a bad ending to the day all the time. It just kind of went away when I was like 12 years old.
He said if he ever became a basketball player, he would do something for the neighborhood.
Overlooked at Oakland High, Lillard excelled at mid-major Weber State in Utah. And then,
with the sixth pick, the Portland Trailblazers select Damian Lillard.
In 2013, Lillard won Rookie of the Year. He kept his promise, bringing the picnic back to Brookfield. Now, in its seventh year, the reimagined picnic is thriving. Each child in attendance gets a free haircut, school supplies, and an everlasting connection to Brookfield.
I think something like this brings a light, you know, it's a light for them. I think for the kids, for them to be able to get up close and see something good can come from this neighborhood.
This week on NBA Countdown, Woj dives into Melo's early Portland success. I talk to Jason Tatum about his breakout season.
One, two, three.
And Dame Lillard and Mark Spears kick it in their hometown of Oakland. Tonight, 7 Eastern on NBA Countdown, presented by Mountain Dew.
Tonight, it's another star-studded doubleheader on ESPN and the app. It's Nuggets Celtics at 8 o'clock Eastern, then Lakers Trailblazers. All right, guys, we've got some breaking news on the jump. Ooh. League sources telling our Adrian Wojnarowski that the Knicks have fired David Fizdale. Perk, we were just talking about Fizz in the last segment. I guess the Knicks felt the situation was as dire as the people up at this table did. What is your reaction?
I'm so happy for Coach Fizdale. Yes, he finally gets to go to bed at night. No more stress. Yes, but something needs to happen. He's not the only person that needs to be fired.
Keep going.
I'm going to say it, Rachel. Scott Perry, Steve Mills, how long do they have? Like, they've been running this for over a decade now. No success. Can't keep blaming the coaches now. Come on now. Something else got to shake. I'm happy for Fizdale in a good way. Now he can get away from this.
I don't think
situation.
They have decided who the interim coach is going to be. My feeling is that it was going in this direction.
Right.
And I don't think they wanted to do this soon. The question is whoever you, when you make this change, you want to have everything lined up and decide who the interim is going to be and you want to tee them up for success. But when you lose by 37 at home and the way things have been going, it just felt close this morning, at least. And obviously it was.
I mean, look, and we don't know what precipitated this happening on this day. Obviously, Adrian and Malika Andrews reported a few weeks ago that Fizdale was sort of on the chopping block, but then he hung on for a little bit. And we've been looking at the schedule. I don't know if producer Steve has that somewhere. He can still throw it up, but they go on a tough West Coast road trip right next week. And there was a feeling since he had lasted this long that, hey, maybe they would let Fizz coach through the road trip because tough West Coast games, maybe you let Fizz take those L's if that's what's going to happen. And then you give the new coach a little bounce when they come back in. Maybe James Dolan got involved after that 37-point loss at home. Frank Isola reported that when Scott Perry and Steve Mills came out and gave that very unusual press conference after 10 games, that it was because James Dolan had been talking to them loudly about what had been happening during that game during halftime in the third quarter. So we know that they have an owner who has already shown this year that he is frustrated and that he is not hesitating to get back involved again. I think players around the league, Coach Fizdale has a lot of support, right? From LeBron and Dwayne Wade have talked very much about him. He's had support in some of the other places, even Memphis, where he was fired from also. But he and Marc Gasol, who had some issues, have buried the hatchet and have a good relationship now.
Right. But, I mean, he's a champion. Mm-hmm. Like, Fizz is a great coach. Just he has to be put in a good situation. But, you know, you just look at this whole situation. It's just wrong. He was set up for failure from the jump. And, you know, now he could just kind of go take a deep breath, enjoy his family, because I know he's been stressed out. Hey, Fizz, I'm supporting you, my brother.
I mean, look, and the question about who's going to replace him and what happens next, Woj also reporting that Keith Smart, his assistant, is out, so he's not going to take over.
Yep.
This is a team that has a lot of young players, but also a lot of soon-to-be free agents, if not at the end of this season, the end of next season, guys who are playing for contracts. The Knicks front office put these guys on short-term deals. They really put a collection at power forward, and there are guys who sort of maybe aren't all united in the same way. I'm not saying that they don't go out there and try to win. Those guys do go out there and try to win, but it is not necessarily set up as a recipe for team success. And there have been issues, not only this season, not only with David Fizdale, before David Fizdale, before the coach before that, before the coach before that. If you look over the last 15 years, the Knicks have the second worst record in the league. If you look over the last 20 years, they have the worst record in the league.
Can I add one more thing? Majority of the, in any sports, right, the owners that have a lot to do with the program usually don't be successful, right? Mm-hmm. Check out the Cowboys, for example.
Kendrick is so sad today.
Yeah, I am.
You are.
I'm bitter. But I'm saying most owners, the owners you hire, these GMs, you let them do their jobs, right? The owners that are involved the most, that's the teams that don't have success. You look at the Spurs, a lot of people don't even know who the Spurs owners. Obviously, they're not having a good year, but I'm just talking about over the history.
Yeah, sure.
A lot of people in the world don't even know who the Spurs owner is. He never shows his face. Mm-hmm. He never wants to be in the limelight. He never wants to have any input. He lets Greg Popovich and R.C. Buford do their job, and it turned out great. So, I mean, you know, it's just...
I still think the Knicks are paying the price, though, for overselling and under-delivering. Like, their fan base was excited about getting Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving this summer.
Right.
That's what they were set up to feel like they were
getting. And to your point, it's not that the fans decided they were getting Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, although, of course, they were encouraged about that idea. James Dolan went on the radio and said, without naming those two guys, said, hey, big-time free agents, we've heard they're definitely coming here.
Yeah, and when you say something like that and get your fans excited, and also have that as justification for the Kristaps Porzingis trade, for changing things around, like preparing everybody and lining everything up, and then you don't get those guys. And not only do you not get those guys, you weren't really in it.
And then make
for
a statement.
Yes.
On the first night of opening free agency, basically, it wasn't technically an apology. It did not say the words, I'm sorry, but basically it was a justification to fans, basically acknowledging that there was a disappointment, then reversing course a week later and saying, no, this was actually what we totally wanted, and let the story leak of we weren't going to offer Kevin Durant a max anyway. He didn't break up with us. We broke up with him.
Oh, man.
Of that stuff. And just on and on and on. The press conference we mentioned in the last segment, 10 games in, that was very unusual and, frankly, signaled more panic than anything else. We look at Steve Mills and Scott Perry there. Scott, a more recent addition to Madison Square Garden. Steve Mills joined this team and this front office in 1999 as Executive Vice President of Franchise Operations. He has his current job now since 2013-2014 season. And there are questions about, what has been constant throughout of all of these different coaches, different losing seasons. Ownership is certainly one of the constants.
Right.
But you have Steve Mills now, who has been a constant in this operation for 20 years.
And has ascended to a role and power that he hasn't had throughout those 20 years.
Look at these numbers.
Yeah. And I think, like, you when you have this kind of prolonged terrible play, right? When you have that kind of number, how else can I say that? That's terrible. When you have that, I mean, 400 for, like, I mean, we're almost talking 20 years right there. That's incredible. When you have that, like, at some point you have to just say, we need to do everything differently. So they brought in Phil Jackson at one point, but they didn't change everything.
No.
I mean, there were stories that, you know, Phil thought he was going to be able to do everything he wanted to do. And even things like from the medical staff or in the front office, like people that he wanted to do things his way, didn't get everything he wanted. And so whoever they hire next as head coach, if this front office stays or doesn't stay, you've got to let somebody have a real clean slate, because what you have been doing is not working.
And look, for people who may be just joining us, they saw the news on Twitter, they want to tune in. We will say again, David Fizdale fired today after a 37-point loss last night at Madison Square Garden. It was the Knicks' eighth loss in a row.
Yep.
And I will repeat, the reason why there is always so much interest in the Knicks is they have one of the largest fan bases in the NBA. Mm-hmm. So they make up a percentage of everything from merchandise sales to TV ratings to just the league's general feeling and popularity. And that the franchise is worth so much. It is the $4 billion franchise for the NBA, their most valuable franchise. Third most valuable franchise in American sports behind the Cowboys and the Yankees. Fifth most valuable franchise in the world. So there is attention and money and all kinds of things on this team. They have every advantage with their local TV deal, where they are in the country, and players wanting to come play for them. And, of course, they have not gotten it done. We're going to talk about them a little bit more in the next segment as well, because we want to look at that upcoming schedule and where they are going to go from here. Stay tuned for that. Right now, though, it's time for our second distant replay of the day. This one is from this date in 2003. Oh, hey, Jamal.
Oh, JC. I don't know how this guy's now on the roster.
I was
going to
say, Kendrick, do you think anyone could use him? Now, obviously, he's not the 2003 Jamal Crawford, but...
Listen, this guy should be on somebody's roster, and I'm not just talking about sitting on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
He should be playing.
That you knew it was over?
Jamal Crawford threw it through my legs.
It's time to quit.
I remember that. I looked at Bernie Bickerstaff as my coach, and he said, sign.
High Noon is minutes away, and we will discuss why Jason Garrett is still coaching the Cowboys.
Can the Chiefs shut down Tom Brady?
Is Odell Beckham trying to get out of Cleveland?
And a flop or a throat punch? We, as always, will investigate. Stay tuned.
So if I punch you in the throat, you're going to flop.
Don't do it, Bomani. Watch SportsCenter, 6 o'clock Eastern after PTI with Sage and Kevin. You can catch it on ESPN and the app. Our next UFC fight night on ESPN and the app is tomorrow, 9 o'clock Eastern from Washington, D.C. Prelims start at 7 o'clock Eastern. Check it out. All right, we've got breaking news on the jump. League sources telling Adrian Wojnarowski that the Knicks have fired David Fizdale. Perk, what is your reaction? We're going to show you a little bit. Okay, so Perk, for people just joining us here, are you surprised? Are you, what, how do you feel?
I'm not surprised. I'm happy that Coach Fizz got out of this situation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to repeat it again. He was set up for failure. This roster was not put together right. Like I said, how many chances is Steve Mills and Scott Perry going to get? And right now they have to find an interim coach.
Right.
But for us looking into the future, for us next year and hiring the right coach, it's going to be hard until they have to make an adjustment in the front office.
I want to show you guys what David Fizdale said just last night. The Knicks lost by 37 points. It was their eighth loss in a row, and Fizz obviously knew how bad this was. Take a listen.
It's sickening, and they'll have to rewatch it. Just like I'm going to watch it three or four times, they're going to have to suffer through it as well.
4-18, are you worried this is going to fall on you ultimately?
I don't care about all of that. I don't even think about that, really. I think about the next team we're playing. I think about the guys in the locker room and how I can help them. At the end of the day, that's all I care about.
Just in the last 15 years, and I say just because they've had the second worst record in the NBA in that time, they have had Lenny Wilkins, Herb Williams, Larry Brown, Isaiah Thomas, Mike D'Antoni, Mike Woodson, Derek Fisher, Kurt Rambis, Jeff Hornacek, and now David Fizdale have revolved through that door.
Wow.
Ramona, who do you think we are getting next?
I think it's going to be somebody on that staff. From my understanding, with the Knicks right now, they're meeting right now with the staff, and they're deciding who the interim coach will be. The two names that I've heard so far, Mike Miller and Pat Sullivan, those are assistant coaches on the staff right now.
Not that Mike Miller.
Right. Different Mike Miller.
Okay.
It's not like they're doing. I know we're showing the typical Knicks coaching search candidates.
No.
Okay. I don't think that's where their head is right now. They're looking at an interim situation, and I think they're meeting about it right now, but those are the two names.
Someone from the staff stepping in an interim role. I get that.
Long term,
we just showed guys like Mark Jackson, Jason Kidd, Ty Lue. Do you think that big name coaches who are maybe assistants or big names in other broadcasts will want this job?
Yeah, only if they change the front office. You have to make changes in the front office. Otherwise, you're not going to land a good coach. I don't care how, or you're going to have to overpay him, but nobody's going to want this current with how they constructed this. I mean, it's a disaster.
Even the way this went down to me is just so curious. It didn't seem planned out. A big road trip they've got coming up and no plan for an interrupt. But it's the Knicks, so we'll tell you more on Monday.